This is the Irrationally Exuberant. I'm Reed Messerschmidt.
I am an alcoholic, which you need to know for this story. You don't have to feel uncomfortable, and I don't need your fucking pity, ma'am. I've been sober for over 4 years. No, please, tamp down that swelling of admiration you feel in your belly before it comes out as applause and you embarrass yourself. Even though sobriety does require a tremendous amount of courage, so I'm basically a hero. And fear not, this story is neither particularly tragic nor meant to inspire. It's just funny, hopefully, with maybe a whiff of sadness and an incredible amount of power and pathos. This is a story about a time, maybe 10 years ago, when I should have known I had a problem. This is the story of the time I found myself in front of the frying pan at 3 a.m, drunk, of course, wearing a bloodstained suit and a backpack full of potatoes. This is the story of the time a grizzled old hobo asked me if I was okay. Some background. I had just moved into my first solo apartment after renting houses with friends for the previous 4 years. Those 4 years were great if massively too boozy. We had a lot of adventures, like the time some fellows got a bee in their bonnet and broke all of our windows with crowbars, or when one roommate cut his wrists and climbed up on the roof, or when we got evicted just because a friend of a friend was selling meth out of our basement, and then some guy got beat up so bad in our boulevard that he had to have his jaw wired shut for 6 months. You know, normal fun stuff. But it was time to move on. And so I got a place by myself in this building called Post Landing, an old brick building, formerly a post office, presumably, a half block outside of the heart of gritty downtown Fargo, North Dakota, conveniently located between a soup kitchen, Labor Ready, and the Northern, a terrible strip club. Kind of a Bermuda Triangle of sadness with me right in the middle. And it was great, really. You get a lot of interesting foot traffic at a location like that. Here's a recommendation if your living situation is similar. Get yourself a case of beer and a very large pizza and offer a can and a slice to anyone who walks by. Make a day of it. But I was drinking more than ever, making a day of it every day, and kind of losing my ability to be pleasant to be around. On the night in which this story takes place, I was doing my best to be tolerable. Some friends and I grilled at the old house. Some of them were still living there. And I made those tinfoil potatoes with, like, carrots and onions and whatnot. They will become semi-important later. Eventually, we moved the party to some trash bar or another. The Empire, probably. And I got wrecked, as one does at such an establishment. Especially if that one is me. And just before closing time, I made one of my famous don't tell anyone goodbye, just sneak out the back departures, and walked back to the house because I had left all of my things there. My keys, my backpack, most importantly my booze, and my bike, which, and this is a story for a different day, was given to me by a homeless gentleman after I split a six-pack with him behind a Hardee's and was later stolen by yet another homeless gentleman. I got back to the house and realized that I no longer had keys to get into it. A problem not just because I needed to get my stuff, but also it was extremely cold out and I wasn't wearing a jacket. So, in my drunken wisdom, a wisdom gloriously free of concern for the future, I kicked in a basement window and crawled inside of a house in which I no longer lived. I grabbed all of my shit, took a slug of someone else's whiskey, and headed for the door before two thoughts entered my head. One, there are leftover potatoes. I'm going to want to eat them later. I'll put them in my backpack. The tinfoil they're currently wrapped in should hold. And two, I need a jacket. Now, of course, the tinfoil did not hold. It broke immediately, and everything inside the backpack was coated in a thin layer of pungent potatoes. And the only coat I could find that actually belonged to me was a tattered green suit jacket that I had covered in fake blood for a Halloween costume. It was good enough. I grabbed my bike and hit the road. Now, looking back, that was a fairly short bike ride, maybe 3 miles. But at the time, it seemed interminable, and halfway through, I decided I needed sustenance. So, a guy walks into a frying pan, stone drunk, reeking of booze and tobacco and potatoes, seemingly covered in blood, and nobody blinks an eye. This is a 24-hour breakfast place. They have seen it all. I order my food and eat without incident. In my mind, I feel great, drunk and well-fed, more confident than I have any right to be. I pay my bill and walk outside. And there's this guy sitting on the curb, smoking a cigarette. He's maybe 60 years old, but it's hard to say with transients. He could have been 40, he could have been 80. He could have had Benjamin Button's disease and been 3, but that seems unlikely. He had long, unwashed, graying hair and a scraggly beard. This was before 90% of dudes downtown had scraggly beards, mind you. His clothes were beat up and layered. His hands were permanently dirt and oil stained from hard manual labor. They were veiny and scarred, and the fingernails were long and dirty. He had one of those huge camping backpacks next to him, filled with all of his possessions, and it looked like it had been with him for a good long while. He had that ghost vibe about him that some homeless men get. Vaguely menacing, but also only vaguely there. And he had smokes, and I was out. So I walked up to him and asked if I could bum one. Slurted, I'm sure. And he looked up at me with this craggy face, huge bags under his vacant eyes, broken blood vessels all over his nose, rotting teeth. He looked up at me, a 24-year-old going on his 7th year of college, a kid with a future, supposedly, though that was looking bleaker every day, and he said, "Are you okay?" And I was taken aback. I thought, yeah, I'm fucking fine. I just need a cigarette. You're the one that looks like he's about to die. And then I thought about what I actually must look like. A blotto kid covered in blood and smelling of root vegetables. I must look pretty fucking far from okay. I must look lost. So I said, yeah, I'm fine, you? And he said, I'm all right. And he stood up with groans and creaks and pops, handed me a cigarette, lit my cigarette. And then we just stood there smoking in silence. And then I told him I had to go. And he looked me in the eyes and kind of smiled. And then he gave me a hug, a full-on hug, a good hug, and said, "You take care of yourself." And I got on my bike, kind of unsteadily at first, and I rode back to my apartment and made myself another stiff drink. And I ate those potatoes directly out of my backpack, off of my things, with a fork like a gentleman. And then I went to bed. And I think about that old man a lot and how extraordinary it was that he would worry about my well-being when he was clearly in a pretty tough spot himself. And I'd just like him to know that I did take care of myself, eventually. It took another decade, but I'm good. And I hope he's good too. But I guess he's probably not. He's probably, you know, dead. The end.